Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our talk today is by Nick Tall, a reader at St. James, and the title is Love One Another. Our readings are taken from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, and 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website. The first reading is taken from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ alone. In Christ Jesus, rather. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from John's first letter, which has the intention of encouraging disciples to swim against the tide of living with Jesus as their example. So, I'm starting on 1 John. Chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the hot, dry summer of 1995, two young people graduated from university, got married, and moved to Taunton. Neither of them had any previous links with Somerset. Like many, their experience of the county was a motorway traffic jam on the way to Devon and Cornwall. They came because of work, but also saw it as a big adventure. New jobs, a new house, exploring a new part of the world, meeting new people. And so began a new chapter of life for Janet and myself here in Somerset. We didn't intend it to be such a long chapter. Having lived here for 29 years, we thought we'd actually only be here for about 4 or 5, but Somerset has a way of growing on you. And once children arrived in the shape of Emily and Rowan, well, there was no better place for bringing them up. One central theme of this major chapter in our lives has been St. James's Church. We looked around a few churches when we arrived, and we thought St. James looked all right. Actually, Janet was particularly attracted to the excellent music, and she has played her clarinet alongside Ray on piano most Sundays ever since. And we have been involved with many aspects of the life of the church. Music team, home groups, being on the PCC, running the toddler group, pub theology sessions in the Ring of Bells, reader ministry, and much, much more. I'm particularly proud to hold the record as leading run scorer of the St. James Church cricket team. A feat which shows that just turning up and being prepared to give it a good go is far more significant than having major talent. Because I must admit, in cricket, I don't really have major talent. So what is it, over those 29 years, that has kept us coming back here, week by week, and feeling so much a part of this community? Is it the teaching, the program of events, the quality of the services, the quite excellent food we have enjoyed? Well, I must admit, they are all a part of it, an important part. But the most important thing, and the glue that holds all of that together, is the theme of this service, which is love. Now, it wouldn't be a Nick Tall sermon without me going off on some theological stream of consciousness at some point. So, possibly for the last time here, let's dive in. Love is the deep core of the Christian understanding of life, the universe, and everything. Look at just about anything in Christian doctrine. It only really makes sense through the lens of love. God's love for us and the world we live in. And in response, our love for God, for each other, and all that we have been given. Without love, none of it makes sense. Why do we pray? Because God loves us. God wants to hear from us and wants to communicate with us. Why did Jesus come to save us? Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What's at the heart of all ethical questions we can face? Love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, and with your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And what is at the heart of Christian spirituality? It's recognizing that we are a part of something much bigger, much greater than ourselves, but that everything within that whole is intimately interconnected, and that the concerns of one part of the whole are of the utmost concern to the entirety of the whole, that we are to love each other. That interconnectedness is important. When Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," as part of his summary of the law, he was asked, "Yeah, but just who is my neighbor?" So in response, he told that story of the Good Samaritan. Love is not about sticking to religious rules or just helping your friends. It's giving practical help, to, including to strangers and those who are on the margins. One thing I love about the Church of England, the dear old Church of England, is that it isn't set up to be an inward-looking community which gatekeeps who's allowed in and who doesn't belong. We have a parish and a responsibility for each and every person who lives in it. We are constituted as being present for the thousands of people that live near our church building here in the heart of Taunton. And alongside the other churches in our deanery, we have a responsibility for each and every person in our town. Anglicanism takes seriously that response to the question, who is my neighbour? And the response isn't the people who are just like me and who I happen to like. The answer is everyone, particularly those in need. And so we do, from time to time, need to look around us and think, who isn't here? And grieve for the fact that something about the way we are as a church might make some people feel excluded. We will never get it wholly right, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up about this, but there will always be more that we can do to really grasp the God-given blessedness of the lives of others. But the profound, curious depth of another person, and who of us can ever say we entirely know all that there is to know about another person? Those other people and what is different about them is something to be affirmed, not something to be afraid of, because love drives out fear. Radical inclusion is integral to the gospel. I don't say this because I'm some sort of radically woke lefty, although I will admit, and you might have spotted it, I am a little bit of a radically woke lefty. I say it because it's the heart of the good news. Every person you ever meet is made in the image of God, and when you look into their eyes, Christ stares back at you. It doesn't matter if they are young or old, if they are rich or poor, if they are big or small. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is, or what job they do, or who they love, or their asylum status, or where they live, or any single thing about them. We are called to love everyone. Full stop, the end. We're even called to love the really difficult people, who we find it hard to love. In fact, we are especially called to love those people who are difficult and who are hard to love. The cross destroyed all the boxes that we use to categorize and contain and label and judge and reject each other. We all stand before Christ as human beings, made in the image of God, and passionately, deeply, profoundly loved by God. And while none of us is perfect, we should always remember it's not our job to judge, only to love. We can leave God in her perfect wisdom to pass judgment. Our job, I will say it again, is to love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That passage from 1 John chapter 4, which is inscribed on my heart, is practical theology at its finest. Its context is dealing with those who doubted that Jesus was the Son of God. In response, the author of 1 John did not engage in ontological metaphysics, even though a tiny minority of us, like me, might have enjoyed that. Instead, he grounds the knowledge and experience of God in the simple act of loving one another. Do you want to deepen your faith? Serious question. Do you want to deepen your faith? Well, love one another. Do you want to know more of God? Love one another. Do you want others to know the peace of God which transcends all understanding? Then simply love one another. It isn't rocket science. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, much beloved of wedding ceremonies, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So do that. As you have done all the years that Janet and I and our children have had the privilege to be here. And while Janet and I may be leaving, there will be many, many more people who come into contact with this church who need to experience the quality of that love, who need to be invited to dinner, who need to be offered a helping hand and a loving word when times are difficult, who need to be given a second chance when they don't get things right, and a third, and a fourth. People who need to learn from your words, and more importantly, need to learn from your example and your actions. Look out for them. They are all around you. Because St. James is a great church full of great people who worship an awesome God. You have something very special held in this place at the heart of this town. The love in this place can and will transform lives. It can sustain people, comfort people, rebuild people. I've seen it time and again. Yes, there is a lot of other stuff to sort out. The smooth running of a church is a complex business. But in the final analysis, don't sweat the small stuff. To paraphrase Paul's advice to the Philippian church, concentrate your time and your energy on what is good. Let your mind dwell on things that are positive, and there you will find your peace in God. And so here we are, after the not-so-hot summer of 2024, and while Janet and I are not as young as we were back then, it does feel like we are off on another adventure. New house, new jobs, new part of the world to explore, new people to meet. But we do have to say, in the intervening years, Taunton and St. James have been very good to us. We will very much miss you all, and we'll look back fondly on being an integral part of this community, a place where our children were baptized and confirmed, a place where friendship and support were always present. Keep being the great church that you are, worshiping the amazing God that we worship and serving each other and serving the community of Taunton with the love that you have in abundance. Stay together, pray together, have fun together, and support each other no matter what. And I have to say, if you are someone who is attending St. James Church for maybe the first or the second time, as we did all those years ago, I can highly recommend you keep coming. They're actually quite a good bunch. I don't think you'll find much better. And life is richer belonging to a community like St. James. So thank you, all of you at St. James, for all that you are and all you have been. We pray that you will continue to be the worshiping, witnessing, and loving community of God long into the future, and that you will continue to enrich lives as this church has done for so many people for so long.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.